This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
With their wide-legged, fur-trimmed costumes, wild hair, their dance routines, who could ever forget 70s disco stars Boney M? They sold 80 million records, and in 1978, the chart-topping Rivers of Babylon hit number one on the Aussie charts. It remains one of the most familiar hits from the 70s and is still one of the best-selling singles of all time. And joining us on the line, live from the UK, is original Boney M band member Maisie Williams. Good morning, Maisie.
Good morning.
Or good evening,
good morning.
We should say.
How are you today?
We're very well, thank you. Yourself?
Well, good evening my time, good morning your time.
Well, it doesn't matter what time it is, it's always time for a drink, and we're glad you arrived here. And let's get Maisie. So you were originally a model. Is it true that your journey to Boney M started in a cafeteria while you were modeling in Germany?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. We were in Germany at the time, and in a city called Hanover. And that's where we were doing some modeling there. And we used to go to this cafeteria every day for lunch and evening, just to hang out as well, just have tea, coffee, whatever, because we became very friendly with the people who own the cafeteria. So we would go there, just have a chat with them. And then one day in walked this lady with this guy next to her and kind of say something like, Maisie. It's like, I thought, you know, in her German accent, of course, but she spoke no word of English whatsoever. But the guy who was with her, he was interpreting every word she was saying. He was an interpreter. And what she was actually saying, asking which one of us was Maisie. And then it's like, I don't know anyone here. Why? Yeah, who is asking? She says, well, my name is such and such person, and I'm an agent, and I was hired by a person called Frank Farian, because he wants to put a group together.
Right.
And he asked me if I know anybody that in Hanover, like, you know, he wanted a black group. So going back in the 70s in Germany, there wasn't a lot of black folks there. So it was very hard to find people. So she heard about me, to make a long story short, she heard about me from someone from the show. And she would like to know if I was interested. And at first I was a bit skeptical because I didn't know if it was legit or not. But then knowing me, I said, you know what, I'm ready to listen to what you got to say. And I went to the office the next day, to her office, and she explained to me that Farin wants to put a group together by the name of Boney M. And, you know, they heard about me and they would like to know if I'm interested in joining. So I said to her, well, you know, I've got nothing better to do right now. After I finish the modeling thing that I'm here to do, I have to go back to Britain and get and try and find me another 9 to 5 job till the next modeling show comes up, you know, contract comes up. So to make a long story short, I took a plunge, and it paid off.
And the rest is history. Look where you are now.
But before
the rest
that,
is exactly.
Before that,
exactly.
Maisie, you worked at Selfridges, I understand. So and then you did your modelling. So do you think you were destined for the glamour industry?
I think so, because I really like that, you know, lifestyle of glamour. And so I worked for Selfridges and Peter Robinson, one of the store used to call Peter Robinson, and they used to have competitions, and they would always ask me to be in the beauty competitions and all that and represent the store. So I did all that, worked with Vidal Sassoon, and, you know, I think that was part of what I was becoming, a glamour puss in the entertainment business, of course, but I knew I wanted to be in the entertainment business. So, yeah.
Oh, that sounds...
You know, one thing led to the other.
You've toured Australia several times and your music always remains so popular here. What is it about Australian audience that keeps you guys coming back?
They're very loyal fans over there. I think Australian fans is one of the most loyal people I've come across when it comes to, our fans around the world. And I appreciate that and respect that, and that's why we keep coming back and they keep asking for us.
Look, I can tell you, you can't walk into any Australian club here without hearing, you know, a Boney M track coming out. Doesn't matter what time of the day, when it is. Yeah.
Absolutely. Is it true that Boney M is it true that Boney M is named after an Australian detective show called Boney?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know that show?
No, I don't know it. Do you know it, Tom?
No,
it was before your attack. Huh? It was actually. There was a detective show coming out of Australia, and we used to watch it here in Europe. And it was with an Aborigine. He was playing the detective. And what it was, when the show was actually starting, he would do this really exotic Aborigine dance, and he would outline his body with chalk, white chalk, and it was like a skeleton, you know, like his bones and all, which was really amazing. So you would see, when you see him moving, you would think you were actually watching a skeleton moving, you know?
Yes.
Right.
And it was Frank Farian find that very intriguing, the name Boney and what it represents, you know? And so he decided, I'm going to use that name. But to give it a finishing touch, we add an M because we needed a finishing touch. Yeah. And M is written with four strokes. We didn't plan this. It just happened. Four strokes. And there's four people in the
and
group.
Four people,
We call ourselves, So we call ourselves Boney, in translation, means penetrating to the bones.
Yep.
And four people. So it's Boney and the penetrating four.
Well, that sounds perfect. I love it. Now, you were invited to visit Russia during the Cold War to sing your song Rasputin, which we all love. It was a time when few Westerners were able to visit. So what was it like, and how did the Russian audience react when you sung Rasputin for them?
Well, listen to this now. I mean, the amazing story is, first of all, we were the first one to go into the Iron Curtain to go to Russia. And, we were invited by the government, actually. And it was because of the song Rasputin. But the amazing thing is, once we got there, we wanted to perform the song Rasputin. Because it was like, they're saying it was still an insult to the queen, going back then, the Tsarin. And so they wouldn't let us perform it, but yet they were playing it in every cafeteria, every restaurant, wherever we walk around, they were playing it. But we were not allowed to perform it on stage.
No, I would have loved it.
Since then, of course, we're allowed to, but then we weren't allowed to.
I would love at the end of it to go, oh, those Russians. That just sounds like that's the best part. We all yell it.
Yeah.
But how was the Russian audience? They must have been thrilled to have you perform it.
Oh, they were great. They were great. I think people are the same everywhere when it comes to music. I think everywhere you go in the world, people react to music the same way, and they reacted to the music just like any other country. And they were, they were up out of their seats, and they were really getting into it. And we had people like Gorbachev and all his delegates. They were all there, sitting in the front row. But we were quite tipsy because they fed us with vodka. Mainly because we were out on the square throughout the day filming Mary's Boy Child on the Red Square.
Oh.
And it was freezing. I've never felt cold like that. So what they did, they gave us vodka to drink and wash our feet and hands in it to keep us warm.
Oh,
so by the time it comes to the show and we got on stage, it was like we were all over the place.
Some that sounds perfect.
We said, I'm so sorry if we seemed a little bit dizzy on stage. Guys fed us with vodka.
Yeah, and you washed my feet in it, so it's been soaking in everywhere, isn't it?
Amazing. Yeah, and amazingly, they got up and applauded, and they said, yeah.
We're in an age where a lot of our music is sort of overproduced, shall we say, sort of a bit like a McDonald's production line, it's auto-tuned. Do you think popular music is losing its meaning and its ability to tell a story?
I think so. I think that going back in the days, in the 70s, or even before the 70s, right up to the 70s and 80s, you could relate to the lyrics as well as to the melody. Today, they have neither. They have no melody. They have no... Thank God for someone like Ed Sheeran, who is, who actually bring back lyrics.
Yes.
And, a feeling to music. But a lot of the music out there today, even I sometimes, I have to be saying, what's he saying? because everyone sounds alike. I mean, there's no originality anymore, which is unfortunate. So going back in the days, there was, the music, the lyrics, the melody, and the image, everything complemented one another. So that was the success of the 70s, really.
Well, in 1978, The Rivers of Babylon was sitting at number one here in the Australian charts. But at the same time, we had Olivia Newton-John, John Travolta's, you know, You're the One That I Want, Bee Gees, Staying Alive, Village People, including ABBA. You know, would you just say that the 70s was the best decade for music? I'm going to say it straight point down.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. It was the best time for music. And I'm quite glad and privileged that I was part of it, because I would not have missed it for anything. And not only that, I mean, you know, it's like something you can't even explain to people. You had to live it to understand what it was all about. And it was just a wonderful time. It was for music and for everything else.
Oh, the costumes. Your hair, I mean, everything was just fantastic. The 70s, let's bring it back.
It was very glamorous. It was a great time.
Maisie, you're about to tour Australia again. You're playing Melbourne on October 20 at the Palais Theatre. Are we going to be in for a fun night?
Well, we hope so. It's always fun whenever we come to Australia. So I believe it will be a fun night.
And what about the costumes?
We always have to come with something, you know.
There's always plenty of glitter.
That's part of the image, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely.
So that as well.
Maisie, thank you so much. If you want to go and see Maisie and Boney M, they'll be playing at the Palais Theatre on October 20. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. Maisie, we'll see you in October. Thanks so much for talking with us this morning.
Thank you. Looking forward.
We're going to take it out with Rivers of Babylon. Thanks, Maisie.
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. There we will. When we remember Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down.
Uplifting station, Joy 94.9.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.